Father. Thank you, Lord. Now you will have to show me another way to witness for you.
Sister Anna?
Yeah?
Would you please help me for a while in the reception office? One of the clerks is ill, and there's so many new patients checking in today, we must have somebody after this.
Oh, I will be very happy to.
You have done it before, so there's no need to explain your duties. Just register the new patients before they are admitted.
All right. I will take care of it. I will begin it at once. Now, if you'll just go right down the hall to the first door on the right, they will finish processing you and admit you. Next. And your name, please?
Malik. John Malik.
There is something familiar about this man.
Yes?
That I see. It is him.
Why are you staring at me that way?
Oh, sorry. Let's see now. John. How do you spell Malik?
M-A-L-I-K.
We know each other, don't we, Mr. Malik?
Perhaps. I know many people. But where?
I remember you from your visit to me back in Bruno. Do you remember it?
I don't think I've ever been there.
Oh, I am sure you have, Mr. Vanis. Or is it Holub? Which one should I put down?
There must be some mistake.
Did you enjoy the things you took from me? Were you able to sell them and get lots of money? My husband could have used the warm clothing.
Are you going to turn me into the police?
No. That is all in the past. Now you are very ill and need some attention. I will take the rest of the information I need and you will be admitted. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you.
Sister Anna, are you coming to see me?
Oh, yeah, I am sorry. I was just talking.
Never mind. Please come in. Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Sister Anna, I believe you realize how much we appreciate your work.
I think I do.
You are one of our best nurses. This we recognize.
Oh, thank you.
But you have been told repeatedly to stop spreading religious propaganda. You puzzle me. How can an intelligent woman like yourself fail to understand that we live in a progressive country with all the advantages of communism? There is no place here for old-fashioned Middle Ages ideas. Why do you insist on always getting yourself into trouble by spreading this ridiculous talk about a God that does not exist?
Are you referring to the cards I gave out for Christmas?
That and a few other incidents. We have warned you for the last time. If it had not been such a repeated offense, they might be able to overlook it. But you have defied us. I have no recourse but to tell you to go to the business manager and get your dismissal.
My dismissal?
You heard me correctly. You are dismissed.
Lord, what did I do? Now I have no job, no place for us to stay. Do we return to the tent in the meadow? Lord, oh Lord, give me the boldness and the calmness that I need for the situation.
You may go, Sister Erna.
Madam, there is an authority I have to obey above any in this world, even if it means losing everything. That authority is God, the very God you say does not exist.
I do not have to listen to
this kind
of...
I know you do not. You have done what you have to do, and so must I. This God, in whom I believe with all my heart, has given me peace through his Son, Jesus Christ. A peace in the midst of all the storms and uncertainties of my life, even this dismissal. You realize what this dismissal will mean to me, and how it will add to the burdens I already have.
You brought it on yourself.
I did what I had to do. And the God in whom I trust has given me a peace and a song in my heart. You may not be able to understand that. But here, in a place of sickness and suffering, how can I keep quiet? Seeing people dying and leaving all they love in this world without telling them about the open arms of a loving heavenly Father. How can I leave them without the only real comfort for the human heart? Faith in God. If I am to be dismissed for this, then that is your decision. I have made mine. Thank you, madam. for allowing me to work here for as long as you have.
Nurse, go back to your work. I will go myself to the business manager and settle the matter for you. You will not be dismissed.
Thank you.
Anyone sitting here?
No. Please, be seated. I came early so that I could get a seat in the back of the room.
That's why I came early. I hate these political indoctrinations.
I came only because I am required to come. But they cannot compel me to listen.
Nor I. What's that you're reading?
Oh, it is the New Testament.
A Christian New Testament?
Yeah.
Then you believe in God?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, this is very strange.
What is?
I have been wanting to talk with someone who really knows about God and Jesus Christ. I remember stories I heard long ago. I've been asking, I don't know who, God, I guess, to lead me to someone who could tell me more about him. And here, in a political indoctrination class, I meet you. Oh, please, can you tell me more about Christ?
If you are sure, don't interrupt what the teacher is saying.
It makes no difference. This is more important.
Do you have any idea why they were called into the head physician's office? On Saturday?
I have no idea at all.
Something to do with extra work. That's what I heard.
Extra work? Then?
I don't know.
Raymond, please. I have called you all together to tell you of an opportunity you have to show loyalty to the party. You will all come tomorrow for a voluntary work shift. Now, besides those who are normally scheduled for duty, all of you are expected to be here at 8 o'clock to clean the entire ward and work in the garden around the ward.
Sir, tomorrow is my birthday, and all my relatives are coming for a party. Could you
no
not
No excuses. You must be here.
Oh, please, sir. I've worked all this week. My feet are so sore. And
I said no excuses, and I mean no excuses.
Sir, I am not coming tomorrow.
Oh.
Tomorrow is Sunday, God's day, which he has ordered us to keep holy. I know the patients have to be attended on Sunday, and for that I would come. But for this work of cleaning, I am willing to come any other day of the week, or any on my free days I have. But tomorrow I am going to church.
You are excused, Nurse Erna. That is all. You will all be here tomorrow.
Come in for a moment, Sister Erna.
Oh, certainly. Please do.
Please forgive me for interrupting this way, but I was so glad you came in early today. I've been trying to speak to you alone for a long time, and this is my first opportunity. I have something I want to tell you.
What is it?
You know, nurse, you remind me so much of a certain kind of people who used to be here in Prague many years ago. Oh, you probably have not heard of them because they don't exist anymore.
Oh? Who were they?
They called themselves the Salvation Army. Oh, I always remember their wonderful message about God and his son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I certainly have. Because I served my Lord for many years in the Salvation Army.
Oh, you did? Oh, how wonderful. Oh, could you tell me some more about the God they spoke of?
Oh, I would be most happy to.
Silence! is the first in a series of 12 lectures on atheism. It is compulsory for all personnel, and you are all expected to be here for each session.
To prepare the base this evening, all the cooking and the brushing and ironing and mending, besides the translation work I am doing for the medical journal for Dr. Dick. And this now.
Now, to begin our lecture, we'll all understand that there is not, nor was there ever, such a thing as God.
And to add to it, I have to sit here and listen to these lies and blasphemies.
There is a God only in the imaginations of people. Spineless people who have not enough strength to manage their own lives, who need this imaginary God to hold on to. Christians are cowards, afraid of both life and death. But death is, after all, the natural end for every living creature. Only the man or woman who has no courage. Further, let us all see that the Bible, upon which the Christians base their false beliefs, is nothing but a book of fairy tales, superstitious legends, with no more validity than any child's book of verse you could buy on the shelves of your local bookstore. That concludes our first lecture. We will meet next week for the second. Is there anyone who wants to ask any questions about what I just said?
Madame, would you please tell how you apply your belief, or your disbelief, I should say, for your life?
I beg your pardon.
What value is all of this? Why have you told us this?
I'm afraid I don't understand your question.
I do not know how your belief or disbelief has ever helped you in your life. But I know what my faith in God has meant to me. God has been the source of strength for my life. He gives me victory over my weaknesses and temptations. I experience joy and peace of mind and heart in the midst of any circumstances.
I still do not understand what you're trying to say. As usual, you Christians come up with these vague concepts that no one can possibly understand.
Only if you choose not to understand. If you could only know what power there is in prayer, talking to God. I talk to God daily about my problems, and I am so grateful for his guidance. You could experience this power in your life if you chose to do so.
I must be going now. Are there any other questions?
I have one more thing to say. You call Christians cowards. But if you know anything about your own history, the history of this country, Czechoslovakia, you would know of many brave men who stood up to death itself for their faith. Christians are the bravest people in the world because of their faith in Almighty God. How do you account for the first century Christians who were thrown before the beast in the Roman arena?
This lecture is ended. We will discuss this later. All of you must be here next week.
I'm not coming to any more of these lectures. She doesn't even make sense.
I believe in God. She can't keep me from believing in God.
If I quote, at least one of us had the courage to speak up.
I do not think this series is going to be too successful at all.
Oh, I hope not.
Thank you, Lord, for giving me the courage to speak up against this false doctrine. Help me to remain consistent in my daily walk before these people so that they may see that you are real.
Appointed by the state to represent you in your trial before the people.
Then my trial is coming up.
It will be on April 21st.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now I will be able to tell my story. And
I would not be too enthused about the trial, Mr. Corbell.
Why not? It has been 2 years and I've had no opportunity to speak in my defense. I should not even be in prison. I'm innocent. And they will realize it when my trial is over.
Mr. Corbell, are you still laboring under the false impression that you are innocent? So many are like you, not able to see their guilt.
Do you think I am guilty?
I cannot say. I have not studied your case. I have been only recently appointed.
And why do you think that I am under a false impression of innocence?
You are all the same. I know that after I study your case, there's no hope. You will get from 12 to 15 years in prison for your offense.
12 to 15 years? But that cannot be. You do not know the facts. I have been unjustly accused. I know that justice will win out in the court. This is impossible.
The state never makes a mistake, Mr. Corbell. They would never have arrested you in the first place if they hadn't felt you're guilty.
Why are you representing me if you feel that I am guilty?
The state is fair, Mr. Corbell. We want to give you every possible chance.
And what chance would I have?
There is still some slight chance, if you should change your mind, of a reduced sentence.
Change my mind?
You were questioned before. You will be questioned again. You could have gone home right away had you cooperated. Now it is too late for that. But the state does take into consideration those who cooperate.
And if I don't...
Then it will not be a question of guilt or innocence, Mr. Corbell. It will merely be a matter of the length of sentence, which I said in the beginning will probably be from 12 to 15 years. That's all.
Hey, Porky! Do not look to either side. Look straight ahead and speak to no one.
Perhaps by some miracle, Ben has heard that my trial will be today. Oh, if I could only see them, just a glance.
Prisoners, get out of the way.
Let's
keep walking and do not look back.
Oh, Lord, why are they able to do these things? I almost hope my family is not going to...
Get that gun away from here.
Oh, Papa, we miss you. We love you.
We can't.
Get one away from that man.
Keep my love to your mother.
Get your hands from off his knees.
No, no, no. Anisha, I love you.
Oh, Papa, we pray for you.
Any more outbreaks like that will mean severe punishment. Is that understood?
Yes.
Now keep moving.
Lord, for whatever may happen to me today, I thank you for this brief moment of happiness.
The People's Court of the State of Czechoslovakia is now in session. The prisoners are considered enemies of the people and will be treated as such. Any favoritism shown towards them or any attempt to contact them will be considered a crime against the state, and punishment will be executed immediately. This court is established for your protection. You are allowed to attend in order that you might see how your enemies are dealt with. There will be no questions or comments, and any signs of emotional outbreak will result in your dismissal from the courtroom. The glorious communist government of the state of Czechoslovakia is supreme, and its judgments are final.
Is it not true that after 11 years of faithful teaching of our dear children, you placed your name on a subversive document? Answer, please.
I did sign a petition advocating free election. I felt it was my duty as a Christian to speak for the truth.
Your sense of truth is what? Any statement against the glorious communist state is a lie. And the election of its rulers is up to the people.
Am I not one of the people?
Then it's not for you to decide. When you decided to commit a crime against the state, you ceased to be a person. You must be dealt with as any other animal. You are hereby sentenced to 14 years in prison. And this court hopes that your example will serve to deter anyone else from committing such a crime. ask you, Joseph Corbell, if you know why, if you are here before us today.
I'm not sure.
Why do you think you are here?
As far as I can tell, I'm standing here because I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary, to purchase our salvation and to give us
everlasting... Shall we stop? This religious nonsense. I've had enough of this for one day. You fanatics don't know them for this silence. It was enough that you infatuated the people in your street meetings. Don't try to turn this court into some sort of religious circus.
You ask me if I know why I am here, and this is the only thing I know that could possibly be the reason.
I admit that this man deserves the maximum punishment. He was an officer in the Salvation Army. As you know, that group of religious radicals opposes the righteous authority of our lawful communist regime. He is the worst kind of enemy of the state. Joseph Corbell, you are judged by paragraph 1 for high treason and sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Unfair. I have served you faithfully for 20 years from now here. On my day to prison. 12 years in prison because I was faithful to you. Lord, you know I am trying to understand. Give me strength to not only do your will, but to accept it also. I am not strong. And I must rely upon your strength. Help me, Father. Your child needs help. I even need help to save this. Forgive my enemy for your name's sake.
Yakimov, in the book, they call it the Camp of Death.
Camp of Death?
Yeah. You'll soon know why. When you're living in this place, you might as well be dead. Won't let the green grass and flowers fool you. I thought they were nice when I first came here. After being shut inside a cell for 3 years.
But you soon get used to it.
It all blends into the same monotonous landscape.
There has been no water in the cell for 6 weeks.
The only water you get is when they bring you your coffee in the morning.
Coffee?
Yeah, if you can call it that. Some sort of barley water. But it's water. If you want to clean up, you'll have to use some of that to wash with. Will you get some bread along with the coffee? Some mornings you can almost see it. And if you see a line forming behind the barracks where they fix the meals, that means they've thrown out some edibles. You'd better get in line. And also, I can teach you about a few roots and things you'll find on the ground. They're edible, or you'll need something extra for strength. You don't have any holidays. They work you harder. It's the better for them.
Aye.
Well, it not only gets jobs done, but gets rid of the weak prisoners as well. The more that die off, the less they have to feed. And the more room for incoming prisoners.
Ah, thank you for telling me these things. You seem most helpful. But, you said, I can help you, too. I found something now, or some volume. Was a constant help in trouble.
He's here and here?
Oh, he's everywhere. His name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here for weeks now, months. This morning they got us up at 2 o'clock instead of 5. The bitter cold is more than I can bear. The rags we have on don't keep off the snow nor insulate us from the cold. Forgive me, Lord, but why? I had offered myself as a missionary to Africa. We were all ready to go. Now this. Father, here I am, surrounded by thieves and robbers and murderers. How can I serve you here? I am so disheartened. I try to pray thy will be done, but I don't understand your will.
Joseph, I need your help. I am almost glad they got us up early.
I needed to talk with you and have not had the chance.
What is it? Joseph, my wife is leaving me. She does not want to wait for me to get out of prison. I've lost her, Joseph.
Oh, I am sorry.
I have nothing, Joseph. I am at the end of my strength. I cannot go on. Joseph, you are religious. Can you give me some words? Something. Joseph, I must have something. I lost my home, my job, my wife, my children. I've got to hang myself, Joseph. Or jump into the electric wire.
Can you give me something?
There's something different about you.
Help me, Joseph. Give me something.
Lord, be merciful. Don't let me leave this suffering soul without a word of comfort.
Lord Jesus, help me.
Joseph, are you listening?
Look at the sky. What do you see?
Nothing but blackness, clouds and darkness.
But does that mean that the sun has vanished?
No.
This is just one little slice of the day. The sun is there. We just don't see it because of the darkness. But when things are in the right position, there it is. God is the same way, friend. You need to be in the right position. He has promised, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Does this mean me too, Joseph? Me too?
It means any man who will call upon the name of the Lord.
Will you help me, Joseph? I need you to help me.
Of course I'll help you. Can you pray?
I never did before. What do you say?
I'll pray for both of us, friend. Lord, long ago I called upon you, and you heard me and saved me from my sins. You gave me peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Now this dear brother needs you. And you have promised to hear when we call out in our distress. Hear the cry of his heart and heal his hurt. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Joseph, you may not think so, but you were sent here just for me, just for this day. Oh, thank you. Will you tell me more about God later?
Any time we can get together.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Lord. I ask why you sent me here instead of to Africa. Now I know. Your minister could get into this prison. And you need your witness, especially here. Use me, Lord. Let your spirit have free reign in my life. Glorify yourself. Amen.
Brother Joseph, I've noticed you walking around the ground as if you're looking for something.
Don't give it away.
What is it?
You've been overlooking?
No.
Then come with me.
Yes, sir.
See that?
What?
Don't you see it? You have a bellies are placed on the low concrete pillar.
Yeah, so?
There is room enough to crawl underneath without being seen. It will be our gathering place. The Lord's temple. Ah, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. Do you think it's safe?
Is there any great safe here for worship?
We must take what we can find and pray that the Lord will make it safe. You'll have to be very quiet because those in the barracks can hear us.
And it is worth a try, huh? Come on, we will tell the others.
Up in the uranium mines. I am working with an engineer, a civilian.
Yeah, you told me.
He saw one of those pretty figures you made. You know, the one you made with the wire and cloth and stuff? But he said if I could get him one, he would trade us some bread for it. Can you do it, Joe?
Sure, I can do it, but you know yourself how difficult it is to find cloth. I'll need something to make it there.
Don't worry. If I get you the stuff, can you make it? We can split 50-50. It needs some bread, Joe.
If you can get the materials, I'll make the figures.
I will meet you outside under the pine tree. I will have what you need. Here it is, Joe.
Will this be enough?
Where did you get it?
No matter.
Can you use it?
Oh, it's such a nice piece of wood. It would be a shame to cut it into pieces. I could really keep warm with this around my neck.
Do what you want with the scarf, but you must have the figure for me tomorrow. Can you do it?
I'll have it for you, and I can keep the scarf.
Yeah, just have the figure for me.
Pardon me, but I couldn't help noticing. Why are you staring at me?
That scarf. You have not worn it before.
It's new. That is new to me.
That is my scarf. My mother gave it to me, and I have had it since I have been here. It was stolen the other day. Now it is obvious who took it. I shall report
this
you.
The scarf was given to me by a friend. I was supposed to make a little figure with some of the material, but I found other material, so I kept the scarf. I had no way of knowing where it came from, and I certainly didn't know it was yours. I'm not in the habit of stealing other men's property. The Lord supplies my needs, and I felt that this was his supply.
I am no thief.
Here, take your scarf.
I am sorry. I was mistaken. I accused you falsely. I should not have jumped to such conclusions.
I suppose there was nothing else you could think. Your scarf was missing, and I had it on. There is nothing to forgive.
Sir, you said something about the Lord providing for you. What did you mean?
I meant that there is no reason for me to steal from others. The Lord has promised to supply all of my needs.
It is so unusual to find honesty in a place like this. I've had a good upbringing and know an honest man. Could you talk?
I am sure that's why the Lord brought me here.
What?
I'll explain it, Sarah. Of course you can talk. And thank the Lord for the red woolen scarf.
What is the matter, Joseph? You look ill.
I'm so weak I can hardly stand.
What happened to...
Get hold of some of that rabbit stew the other night?
No, I had to help clean them. It made me so ill seeing them butchered, knowing that some of them were diseased. I could eat no supper. And just not getting enough to eat.
It's a vicious circle.
I couldn't carry the two heavy bags of cement they gave me, so they penalized me by not giving me supper. And that made me weaker. I was still unable to perform, so my lashings were cut more. It makes me even weaker. Now here I am on your work crew. Useless.
No, you need rest.
We all do. But you need it more than any of us.
You know, I have an idea. Now, while the guards are not looking, slip under that pile of boards. I'll have some of the men throw sawdust in there, so you have something soft to rest on. Hmm? You get some sleep.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
But I can't. But nothing. We have to watch out for each other, and we have to take some chances.
No, but what if the guards fight me?
You're my squad leader. You will be in trouble.
Let me take care of that, Josef. You get under there. Get some rest.
What is it, boy? There's something in the woodpile. Let's have a look.
The dog has picked up your scent. He's headed for the woodpile. Now we are in trouble.
All right, boy. All right. Here we are. What is it?
There goes a rat.
Quiet down, boy. It was only a rat. Calm down, boy.
Only a rat. I never thought I'd see the day. Then I'd be grateful for a rat.
Oh, thank you for letting me sleep. I wasn't even as bad as the last.
You should thank them.
Just for what?
I will explain when you return. Now, you better get back and have some supper. You need all the strength you can get.
Joseph, is it not strange the things you thank the Lord for?
Yeah, would you believe that I'm thankful for a rat?
A rat?
It's a long story. I'll tell you later.
But what were you thinking of? Oh, this red scarf. If it had not been for the misunderstanding we had over the scarf, I would not have met you. And then I would never have found the Lord. We probably had one of the most unusual churches in the world.
It was not easy meeting underneath the barracks, but it did serve the purpose.
I found the Lord there, so it is a very special place for me. Rats, scarves, cramped meeting places.
But we see how with God all things work together for good.
Yeah.
Oh, I must tell you, I received a letter from Anna. Only the second I've received since being sent to prison.
Oh.
I'm sure she is little more than that, but that's all that I've been given. So much censoring. When I looked at the postmark, I saw the letter was a year and a half old.
A year and a half?
And when I opened it, it was so old and tattered, so many words crossed out, I hardly felt like reading it. But I pored over it, looking for some evidence of communication. At one point, I could make out the word, Jesus. At another place, I could distinguish the words, always the same. I put the two together, and although the sentinel had tried to rob me of the joy of reading a letter from my wife, the Lord sent to me a message by her. A very clear message.
Jesus, always the same.
I was reminded of the verse of Scripture that tells us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What better message of assurance could I have received? Not everyone has that hope. Remember that poor guard who shot himself the other day?
Yeah, I even know why he did it.
He found out that his father is one of the prisoners here in camp. He couldn't take the strain.
Oh, no. Is it not strange how different the guards are around here? You know, the old guy, the gruff one that always talks loud, but really has a heart of gold?
Yeah.
I went up to him yesterday and told him how much I appreciate the way he treats us. And you know what he did?
What?
He turned around and yelled at me. Don't ever say that to me again. Curse me, hate me, but never thank me for anything. Because if you do, I will be soon one of you.
I cannot understand how these men can do the things they do. I'd hope that the world would not allow our country to be taken over by the communists. But then I realized that it is God who sets up and puts down kingdoms. He is still in control.
I guess we all hope that someone would come to our rescue.
Yeah, the communists have taken from me something that I shall never be able to replace.
But that?
My family's youth. I will never know the youthful years with my wife and family. After I have served my term, it will be almost like going home to strangers. 12 years will create 4 entirely different people in my family. And I will be different.
The Lord can certainly work it out for us, but humanly speaking, now, I regret it.
Mm.
Although we do have all eternity to become acquainted, I just wish I could be at home with my children. My greatest personal loss was the loss of all my sermon outlines, my poetry, my songs, my recitations, which I had composed for work with the youth of the Salvation Army.
Mm.
It was a work of 22 years. Oh, the communists stole and destroyed it all. And I keep thinking of the Apostle Paul. He, too, knew what it was like to be in prison and to suffer for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, he did.
He said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My friend, may we accept that as our challenge.
Joseph, something has been bothering me.
Yeah? What?
Well, I know what you have been going through for the past few weeks with old Kral. Why does he do those things to you?
I do not know. He hates me. I've done nothing to him. His cruelty is becoming a routine, one which I would rather not have to go through. You know how hard it is to get to the kitchen in time to get anything to eat.
Yeah, I know. Because of Kral, I've not had a meal for several nights.
For the past few evenings, as soon as I go to pick up my dish, he calls over the loudspeaker for me to come to the office. And then I have to stand in front of him while he pours out his filthy hatred on me and on the Lord. I can take the personal abuse, but sometimes it is almost more than I can take to hear him blaspheme the Lord. He sits behind the desk, toying with his pistol as he calls me every name he can think of. He carries on his filthy blasphemies until he has had enough. I know he's tempting me to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
He could shoot me on the spot. No one would dare ask any questions. Guards have that right, you know. But when he finally shouts at me to go, there is a guard waiting outside the door to take me to the dark cell. I'm always forced to spend the night there after talking with Kral.
I have been praying for you, Joseph. I know it is wearing you down.
The thing that is wearing me down is that I am so ashamed.
Ashamed?
Yeah, that I have stood there in silence all this time and have never said a word to Kral about the Lord.
Dare you?
The Lord has given me several opportunities, but I am not a brave man. I'm petrified. Petrified when I stand before Kral. I should be bold and tell him about the Lord.
Joseph, are you sure?
I want you to pray for me. And if I am called tonight, with the Lord's help, I am going to say what is on my mind.
I sure will pray for you. And I will tell the others too also.
You know how to open a door? Do not just stand there.
You sent for me, Mr. Kral?
Sure, I sent for you, ignorant one. Don't just stand there with the door open. Shut it. Do it again.
What?
Are you hard of hearing? I said, do it again. It was too loud. Close it quieter. Well, well, you can obey, can't you? Come over here, Vizon. You who are supposed to know so much about eternal things, tell me this, number 014555. If this God of yours knows everything, then why hasn't he intervened to get you out of here, huh? Why not? If he is a God of love, as you Christians claim he is, then he must love to see you suffer. Would he love to see me blow your brains out, would he? I could, you know. All I have to say in my report is that you called Stalin a name that was, shall we say, inappropriate. You're not laughing with me, number 014555. Are you scared? Scared? That God of yours might not be so big after all? Speak to me! Don't just stand there! Say something! Say something! Now!
You
are the cruel man.